Well, good morning, friendship. Hopefully you've had a great weekend so far, and hopefully we will start you off great for a next week. We are in our seasonal series. Now, usually we do two services on Sunday morning. We decided that for the first about 3 months of this year, we're going to do one service. And the reason behind that was because we got a lot of people serving in a lot of different places. We said, man, we really want to give people an opportunity to have a break. Now, with that, when you take two services and you put them into one service, there's a lot of seats that are taken. So just as a reminder, if you've got people looking for seats around you, just kind of wave at them. If you've got some empty seats for you around you, then kind of move to the middle if you can when you do that. But it's great to be able to all worship together, probably for maybe the last time in the history of our church, being able to kind of all be in one building at the same time as we continue to grow. And it's been a cool experience to do that so far. And we're going to be doing that through April 2nd of this year. And so the series that we're doing during this time is called Building a Life That Matters. Building a Life That Matters. We all want to have meaning and significance. We all want to make a difference with our lives. In fact, when we think or believe that our life doesn't make a difference or isn't significant, it can lead to all sorts of issues and difficulties, stress, anxiety, depression, fear, feelings of overwhelming. And so this whole purpose of this entire series is to be able to kind of walk through what the Bible teaches about having a life that matters and how to put those pieces together. And this first part, the series is going to be in three parts. This first part of the series is about the spiritual life. It's about the aspect of what it means to connect with God, to connect with others, to be able to do those things. The second part is our financial life. Believe it or not, the Bible talks more about how to handle finances than it does heaven and hell combined. What God says about finances is not just, hey, you need to give so much. It's about how to handle it in a way that honors Him, that gives you a stability in being able to do that so that you're not trusting or hoping in those types of things, but you're able to focus on what God's called you to do. And then finally, your relational life, how you deal with other people, the horizontal relationships that we have with those around us. So in this series, we've got five parts. And we started in the very first week in January talking about connecting with God. And the idea that connecting with God is the essential part. If we start with that, if we can connect with God, all the other pieces can begin to align with that. There's a lot of truth in the Bible, and there's a lot of things that you can add and put into your life, put into practice in your life. But if you miss that element of understanding who God is, the fact that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to pay for your sins, to give you a new life and a new hope, not just in this life, but in the life to come. If you miss that, then really a lot of the other stuff kind of falls short. It may change some good things in your life, but in reality, the end result will end up being the same. And then we talked about how to expand your understanding of who God is in your relationship with Him and how you read your Bible and you pray and you listen to others, you engage in what the Word of God teaches. And then last week, we talked about living your purpose. The fact that God has created each and every one of you with a specific purpose and a plan, that if you are still breathing, that God still has something for you to do. And how to discover what that means, how to use those things. We talked about your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences, those things that shape you. And hopefully, if you're in small group, and I encourage you to do that, if you're in small group, you kind of went through that, and you kind of determined a little bit more of what your shape was like. And you're like, well, I'm kind of pear-shaped. That's not what we're talking about. Different kind of shape. So it's like we go through all these things, and today we're going to talk about something that, man, if you've been a Christian for a while, anytime somebody talks about this, it's like it freaks you out. It's about sharing your story. And immediately when you say anything like that, or you talk about evangelism or witnessing, it's been said that Christians and non-Christians, there's one thing that they both hate, and it's witnessing. Because it just freaks people out to share their story with other people. And so what I want to do is I want to demystify it this morning. I want to demystify it, but I also want to help connect it with the reason why. Because a lot of times we're told to do something, we're not told the why behind it, and so it becomes something that we do because we have to do, not because it can give us a connection to what God is doing in the bigger picture of the world. And so as we talk about this idea of building a life that matters, I think it's absolutely essential to understand that any part of life, any life that really has significance, it has to have a certain component, and that certain component is that you are bringing others into the story as well. That you are connecting others into what God is doing. that your life and how you live your life is actually an on-ramp to a relationship with God for other people to see what God has done through your life, and they go, man, I want something like that. Because the truth of the matter is that your story, as you share it, your story unfolds into the greater story of God. Your story, as you share it with people around you, puts context in what God is doing around the world for the people that see you in your life. You see, I can stand up here and say, listen, God changes lives. And you can be like, oh yeah, that's right, God changes lives. And somebody maybe that you know can hear that and go, well, yeah, God changes lives. But then they sit down and they have a cup of coffee with you and you talk about how God changed your life, totally different story. You see how that works? That's what God wants you to do through you sharing your story. Your story helps make that connection where otherwise people wouldn't have it. And your story is so important. I know some of us are like, my story isn't that big. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my dad was a pastor. Full disclosure, my dad was a pastor. I'm pretty sure that my first Sunday alive was spent in church. I've been in church my entire life. So I used to joke, you know, people say, well, tell me about, your salvation experience. Well, let's see, I was into drugs, and I was hooked on this addiction, and I was really probably the number one weed seller in all of Penn Yan, New York, which is where I was born. And then at age 5, I accepted Jesus Christ. That's not really a story that people are like, oh wow, what a change. So, you know, all of our stories are different. My story, I'll tell you what my story, it's really simple. If you're a small group, you'll see it tonight. But my story is really, really simple. My entire life, those of you that have been at French for a while, you know this. My entire life, I have been absolutely crippled with a fear of failure. My entire life. Absolutely terrified of failing. To the point where at certain times in my life, I would literally intentionally not do enough so that just in case I did fail or what I was doing did fail, I would say, well, if I'd have done this, I wouldn't have. Now, those of you that have a fear of failure know exactly what I'm talking about. And I will tell you this. When I came to the realization that in Christ there is no failure and there are no failures, that set me free. That's my story. You go, where's the whole salvation moment that you were beating your wife? And No. You see, for me, it wasn't so much the dramatic change of before Christ and after Christ. For me, it's the dramatic change when I finally understood who I was in Christ. Now, for you, your story may be different. You go, well, how do you get to the Jesus? Let me tell you something. You tell people that, and they look at you and they go, are you serious? And you go, yeah. You go, how did that happen? Well, let me tell you how that happened. You see, sometimes we think the salvation story or our story needs to be 8 hours long. Well, let me tell you, I was born in a small uptown village in Massachusetts. It was a rainy day. No, people don't care. They want to know, okay, what was it before? What is it now? What made the difference? That's all they want to know. That's all they want to know. And if they want to know more, they're going to ask more. You see, your story matters so much because it puts the story of God into living flesh, breathing flesh in front of somebody that sees you every day, that sees you through the journeys of day, that sees you at work, that sees you mowing your lawn, that sees those things, and they go, man, it now makes sense because if God can change you, he changes anybody. And that's how it works. Your story is so important, and your willingness to share your story is vital. You know, your story, you go, oh, my story, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. Your story may be the very catalyst that begins the journey of faith for someone. Your story may be the next link in the chain of faith that someone needs to be able to move a little bit closer. Your story may be the final piece of the puzzle for someone to be able to accept and embrace Jesus Christ. Your story is absolutely vital. And the reason you telling your story is absolutely vital is because of this. No one else can tell your story. That's the big idea. No one else can tell your story. You go, well, There's a lot of autobiographies out. There's a lot of biographies out there that aren't autobiographies. I mean, sure, someone else can tell my story. Yeah, someone else can tell your story, but no one else can tell your story like you tell your story. Now, I know some of you are storytellers. I mean, you can tell stories. He's like, let me tell you a story. You know, I used to, all the time, you know, I'd tell stories, and my wife, Tracy, she's over here. She didn't know I was going to do this, so I'll get in trouble later. But I'll start telling a story, and she'll, like, jump to the end and finish it for me. And I'm like, no, you got to, there's all these parts here in the middle that are so, because I'm a storyteller. That's what I do. I just, like, some of you are like, no. I want to say this, boom, done. That's how you tell your story. That's okay. That's how God made you. You don't have to be this unbelievable writer or author or speaker to tell your story, because it's your story. Your story is told through you and through your life and how you live and how God has worked in your life. Your story doesn't have all these complexities. It doesn't have to have all these twists and turns. It just has to be authentic. Don't make it up. You'd be like, well, there was this really awful thing that happened to me. I was really born in a home that had all sorts of money and then never had any problems. But here, no, because the connection is what people want to see. They want to know. No one else can tell your story. So what I want to do this morning, just really simple. I want to ask four questions that the average person asks when we start talking about sharing your story. And I want to answer them from the Word of God. I want to answer them in the best way I possibly can to help demystify, to help you understand, to help you connect with the why behind why you've got to be willing to share your story. So I'm going to begin with the first question. Who should I tell? Who should I tell? Okay. I love this one because oftentimes when people are like, listen, Here's what I grew up with. Here's your story, and they would write it for you. And here's this long spiel, and you're going to go knocking door to door with people that you've never met before. Anyone here like, oh, that sounds fantastic. I would love to do that. I would love to be the Christian Jehovah's Witnesses. We would love to do that. No. You're like, because you're like, listen, I get irritated when people come to my door. Anyone else get irritated when people come to your door? Praise God, right? It's like, go away. I'm doing something here. I love it. One time I was having a conversation with a guy because he came to my door and I started witnessing to him. And I'm like, listen, we're going to turn this around. You came to my door, we're going to have a conversation about this. And he goes, because he had his little helper guy there that was younger that was going, really, I've never heard that before. And I'm like, yeah, you know what else the Bible says? And the guy goes, oh, we've got to be somewhere. I'm like, what do you mean? You came to my door. Where else you got to be? But you know what? We get freaked out by that. We're like, listen, God's going to make me go to Africa. God's going to make me go to El Salvador. God's going to make me go to, you know, Puerto Rico, I don't know. We were like, well, Puerto Rico, that might not be too bad. But God's going to make me go somewhere and tell people that I've never seen before, I've never met before, my story. It's going to be so embarrassing. It's going to be like I'm walking around naked. I don't like this. So who should we tell? Here's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says, you are the salt of the earth. This is Jesus Christ talking. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deed shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Now you go, how in the world does this tell us who we're supposed to tell? It's very simple. Because you have to understand the two things that Jesus Christ called us. He called us salt and he called us light. I have some saltaholics in my house. Any of you saltaholics just love yourself some salt? Okay, good. Pointing at other people always works well. Okay. Saltaholics. Now if you go out to eat and you sit down, and you say, this is not salty enough for me, or this needs more flavor. You look at the salt shaker, right? And what do? You pick it up, you bring it over to your food, you turn it upside down, and you what? Check it out. This is, I'm not tricking you. Someone's like, I know where he's going. No. You shake it out. What would happen if you picked up the salt shaker, you brought it close to your food, you waved it over the top of your food, and then you put it back down? What would happen? Would the flavor change at all? Salt has to what? Make contact for it to be effective. You see, God's called you to share your story with people that are close to you, people that you're in contact with on a regular basis. I like to put it this way, people who are in your sphere of influence, people that are around you. See, God's not called you to necessarily hop on a plane and go somewhere to people you've never met before. He's simply saying, listen, just tell your story to the people that you already tell stories to on a regular basis. The people that when you go to a new restaurant and you go to the bathroom in that restaurant, because the bathrooms in the restaurant are the most important things, are they not? You go into the bathroom, if it's a nasty bathroom, it changes the experience. If you walk into the bathroom and it's like the coolest bathroom ever, the next day you tell your friends, listen, I went to this restaurant, the food was good, the bathroom was unbelievable. Those are the people that God says you are to tell. The second is light. Light, the further away you get from it, gets diffused. It loses its potency. So therefore, not only are we to tell those who we are in immediate contact with, but we're also to tell those who are maybe in just a little bit outside our immediate contact. We see them on a regular basis, but not a daily basis. So Jesus Christ is literally saying, you are to tell those who are right around you already. I'm not going to send you someplace necessarily. I'm not going to call you to go someplace. Now, some of you God may call. That's awesome. But for the vast majority of us, God is simply saying, talk to the people you already talk to. Share with those who you already know. That's who God has called you right now to start to tell. So who should I tell? Those you're immediate contact with or you're on regular contact with. That's what it means. The second question is, what should I say? What should I say? Should I come up with this really long, you know, dramatic story? Should I carry my iPhone or my Samsung Galaxy in my pocket, and when I get to tell the story, I should have background music? Let me tell you my story. No. What should I say? What should I say? 1 John chapter 1. Verse 3, we are telling you what we have what? Seen and heard. We're telling you what we have seen and heard so that you may share in this life with us, and we share in it with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible often uses the term witness. Now, a witness is simply someone who testifies about the validity or the authenticity of an event as it's taken place. God does not expect you to have all the answers. God does not expect you to have some really fantastic, wonderful spiel that goes through Genesis through Revelation and all the things that go through it and talking about the sin of man and the fall of man and all these different things. God simply wants you to tell people what you've experienced. God simply wants you to tell people what He's done. He wants you to tell people what you've learned. He wants you to be His witness. See, it's not like something you have to think about this long experience, you know, long period of time and try to come up with stuff and come up with a dramatic cliffhanger and go, I'll tell you more next week. No, it's just simply about you sharing your story. What have you experienced? When you accepted Jesus Christ, what changed in your life? What are the things that changed in your life? Who were you and who are you now? Why are you thankful that you accepted Jesus Christ? Why are you excited about what He's done in your life even recently? What differences have taken place? What have you learned when you read the Bible? What have you learned when you sit on Sunday mornings and you take it in? What have you learned when you've been sitting in a small group? That's what you're supposed to talk about. What should I tell them? Tell them what you've seen, what you've heard, what difference Jesus has made in your life. You go, are there particular elements? Yeah, there are particular elements. What it was before, what it was now, what made the difference? That's it. That's it. And here's the thing. If you are telling people that you are in constant contact with or regular contact with salt and light, then guess what? They've probably seen the difference. And they're wondering why. So, who should I tell? We've answered that. God's not sending you somewhere. He's just simply saying, the people that you're in direct contact with. What should I say to them? You just tell them what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced, what you've learned. How should I say it? How should I say it? Who should I tell? What should I say? And how should I say it? Well, I try very hard to not be critical of things. I try to be positive and just kind of focus on the positive. But I think for just a moment here, I have to take just a moment because I'm sure all of you have either heard or experienced someone who shared Jesus Christ, I'm just going to come out and say it, unbiblically. Because we're going to see what the Bible says. If you went to college, you probably heard somebody do this. Who stood in the middle of the street screaming and hollering at people, telling them how they're going to hell and they're awful and they're evil, complaining and criticizing those around them, attacking, and then ending with, and Jesus loves you. Really? Does he? Because you obviously don't. Oh no, I love you, I just don't love your sin. Okay, it doesn't sound very loving. Doesn't sound very gracious. Doesn't sound very kind. And it's more of an attack than it is a story. Here's what the Bible says, and you see if that fits with what the Bible says. 1 Peter 3:15. Your heart should be holy and set apart for the Lord. Always be ready to tell everyone who asks you why you believe as you do. Be gentle as you speak and show respect. How you should do it. Two very important things there. He says, be gentle and show respect. You go, well, yeah, but they're sinners. You were too. And but for the grace of God, you still would be. If you do not do it with gentleness and respect, you may be undermining the very message that you think God's called you to share. I believe with all my heart and have seen it with my eyes, people who have been turned off to the story of God because the messenger who's sharing it and because of how they're sharing it. Now, does this mean we pull punches? No. Does this mean we don't tell the truth? No. But how you say it makes all the difference in the world. Let me give you an example. If you're with your kids and your kids do something that they should not be doing, and you look at them and you gently say, honey, I love you, but that is not okay. And mommy or daddy, we're going to have to discipline you for that. We're going to have to spank you, or we're going to have to give you a timeout, or we're going to have to take this away, whatever the case may be. Okay? And you say it that way. Let's change it. I love you, but what you have done is unacceptable, and I am going to discipline you. Did it change at all? One, your child is responding to you, and the second one, they're cowering in a corner, peeing their pants. How you convey it changes the message itself. God has said that when you convey your story, which is a part of his story, it's to be done with gentleness and respect so that he will shine through. So that he is the one that gets the glory. No one has ever been argued or shamed into heaven. Doesn't happen that way. It just doesn't. And I believe that when God saved you, He did so so that you could share your story. It's not about how evil they are. It's not about what they have done or they have not done. It's about what God has done through you. And you may be shocked to realize this, but in all my years of having conversations with people, I have yet to meet a single person that when it came to the point that none of us are perfect, they went, oh, you haven't met me. Because we all know we're not perfect. We all know we're messed up. We all know we have issues, and we all know we need something. They don't need to be convinced that they're sinful. They already know it. Your job is to present the gospel, which, by the way, means good news. It's really hard to holler and be angry when you're sharing good news. So, who should I tell? What should I say? How should I say it? And finally, when will I know? When will I know? Now, some people would say, well, hey, you know what? Walk into your office tomorrow morning, stand on the desk in your cubicle and go, I have something to share with everyone. Probably not the best move. When will I know? When am I supposed to share my story? When am I supposed to respond? How am I supposed to know when it's time? Romans chapter 3, verse 11. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. You go, why is this? Okay. That's a little confusing. Why is this verse significant? It's significant because if you're in conversation with someone and they say something like, you know, I've seen a difference in you. Or they say, you know, I hear that you go to church. Or I hear you're into this Bible stuff. Or you know what? The other day I saw you on break and I saw you reading your Bible. What's that about? Are you ready for this? Those questions were prompted in their heart to ask you, directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Because no one on their own seeks after God. No one. The only time anyone will ever ask you about the hope that you have, 1 Peter 3:15. The only time anyone will ask you a question about God or Jesus Christ or church or an understanding of what the difference is in your life, the only time anyone will ever ask you that is if because God has already been working in their heart to ask you that. You go, well, I'm looking for opportunities to open up. Let me tell you something. It is not your job to open up opportunities. It's God's. Your job is to be ready. Your job is to be ready. And when the opportunity presents itself, you share your story. You mean I don't have to go out looking for it? Nope. You be you. You show Christ through how you live. And when the opportunity is presented, then God will give you the opportunity and make it very clear because someone will say, hey, what about, and you can share your story. You go, well, okay. Here's where it gets cool. You ready? She's ready. Here's where it gets really cool. Because if the Holy Spirit is working in their hearts to inquire about all this stuff, the Holy Spirit does something for you. There's this great passage in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, and he says this, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you and will give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and everywhere in the world. I believe that Jesus is saying something incredibly profound. No one seeks after God. So when someone begins to seek after God, they're being drawn by the Holy Spirit. And if they're being drawn by the Holy Spirit and they come to you, then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit now empowers you to share what you need to share with them. The Holy Spirit is working, drawing empowering them, and the Holy Spirit's working to help you to be able to do it, because God is at work in your story. It's a powerful thing. You go, well, yeah, I'm going to fumble all over it. Great, that's probably exactly what they need. I'm going to say something stupid. Great, that's probably exactly what they need. You're like, what do you mean? Because here's the thing. A lot of times people think that Christians have it all together. When you say, no, I am messed up. Let me tell you how messed up I was and how I'm getting a little bit less messed up. They go, wow. And when you begin to do that, the Holy Spirit works through that. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to speak in a way that connects with their heart. I have been amazed. I mean, literally, there have been so many times where I will get done preaching on a Sunday morning, we'll get home and we'll sit at a restaurant, or we'll, you know, sit down for dinner, and I'll be just so discouraged. It's like, man, I just blew it today. I mean, my mind was all over the place. There was stuff happening over here, and phones went off over there, and I just couldn't keep my train of thought, and I feel so horrible. 9 times out of 10, that Sunday, somebody got saved. And I'm going, I have no idea how that happened. That's the grace of God. It's the grace of God every time. Every time. Always God. God draws them, and God empowers you, and something unbelievable happens as you share your part of God's story. As I close this morning, I want to read 2 things for you. First, I want to read something that I found in a little book by a guy named Bill Perkins. I thought it was so powerful. Because I think it's essential for us to understand how God is working in the lives around us. Because no one can tell your story but you. So I want to read it for you. It's going to be up on the screen. Here's what it is. He writes this. He says, God is currently working in the lives of your friends, teeing them up for an encounter with you. You see, that's powerful. We think, oh, they need an encounter with God. Yeah, their encounter with God may be a conversation with you. He's teeing them up for an encounter with you. When they're ready, God providentially gives each of us moments that are ripe with opportunity. It could be at anywhere, at any time. And he closes with this. But when that moment arrives on the scene, we've got to be ready to gently and wisely offer the hope of Christ. That's what it means to tell your story. That's what it means to share your story. No one else can tell it but you. So as we close this morning, I want to read/pray over you. Philemon. You're like, Philemon? Wow. Philemon, it's a little tiny book. But in the book of Philemon, the Apostle Paul writes one of the coolest prayers when it comes to sharing your story. Philemon 1:6, he says this, I pray that the sharing of your faith would be more and more effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. My prayer for you is that as you share your story, and it's scary, my goodness, it's scary. I could do it up here, no problem. Put me one-on-one with some person, and I'm like, let me tell you, it's just scary. It's okay. That's why the Holy Spirit empowers us. And my prayer, just like the Apostle Paul, is that the sharing of your story will become more and more effective for the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We are overwhelmed by your willingness to allow us to be a part of your story. God, for allowing us to be able to share our story in the context of the bigger story of how you're working in this world and what you're doing, God, that allows us to put skin on what it means to be a part of the story of God. And God, as people hear that because they're drawn by the Holy Spirit, that we speak whatever it is that you've placed on our heart because we are pulled by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And God, that whole process, which is unbelievable and almost mystical, if you will, as we see the truth of God connect with the hearts of people. That God, our story, as simple as it may be, could be the catalyst for someone's relationship with you. Could be the link that people need to understand. Could be the final piece. The final piece that helps them take that step of faith. God, we are so humbled and so thankful that you would allow us to share our story as a part of your story. We thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.